I invite you to return to that passage we read earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 8, and you will find our text there in verse 3, where the Holy Ghost has recorded, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." For the remainder of our time this evening, I wish to focus on these words, particularly, I will, be thou clean. I will, be thou clean. I have two main headings that I wish to hang the sermon on, and it's really Christ's willingness to save and Christ's power to save. And I must say, friends, at the beginning, this indeed is the most wonderful subject that we can possibly address. I believe the Bible is a book of redemption, and it is ultimately how God has gone forth in Jesus Christ to redeem our people for himself. And surely you would agree, if you know anything of the Bible at all, it is about salvation. This is a wonderful theme that runs right from Genesis to Revelation. It is a book of salvation and what God has done in Jesus Christ. And therefore I put you right at the very beginning, this is the prince of subjects. It is the salvation of your souls that is important. And this is what this text deals with ultimately. It is the work of Jesus Christ. And this indeed is a theme and a subject that should fill our hearts with love and with gratitude. We should be, as it were, on top of the world as we consider this wonderful theme. And I realize that what I'm going to say to you tonight, you've probably heard it all before. I'm going to bring nothing new to your ears. But I'm not going to apologize for that. For this is the theme of themes. And we have the Savior of Saviors. We have Jesus Christ. And this is the great theme that I wish to bring to your attention this evening. It is the work of Jesus Christ. In the Free Church of Scotland, we believe in the Word of God. We believe that this book before us here is indeed the Word of the living God. It is His final word to mankind. And we are not ashamed to call ourselves Calvinists. We believe in the doctrines of grace. Yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God and the salvation of men. Yes, we believe all the wonderful truths that a so-called Calvinist believes in. We believe all these things. And we accept the Westminster Confession of Faith as our subordinate standard. We believe what it says. And because of that, because of that we believe the Word of God, and we are inflexible in many respects regarding the Word of God, we are perceived as hard and indifferent and austere. And many, many times when we present the gospel, maybe it comes across as if we're hard and austere, because falsely it can be perceived that the doctrines of grace indeed are hard doctrines. But that is not the case, my friends. That is not the case. For although we do believe in election, we do believe in the sovereignty of God, we do believe what is commonly called the 5 points of Calvinism and all the other things that are taught, rightly taught, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, we are not hard. We are not austere. And we do not preach a God that is hard and austere. We preach a God that is in conformity with the Word of God. And you know, friends, what we have before us here in this passage the first few verses, as we find it in chapter 8, is a God of compassion, is a God of mercy, is a God of grace, even through the Lord Jesus Christ. And many will charge us that we are hard and austere, and therefore the gospel that we proclaim is hard and austere. But that is not so. For tonight, we preach Christ, and we preach someone who is loving. Yes, someone who is loving. Someone who welcomes sinners, who wants sinners to come unto Him. Someone who is merciful. Someone who is compassionate. And someone who is gracious. All these things are taught. All these things are displayed in the first few verses of this chapter that we've read. We do believe that God is a God of judgment, and that He is a holy and a righteous God. And we will proclaim that, and we are not ashamed to proclaim it. But further, my friends, we will do justice to the Word of God. We will also be prepared to preach a Savior who is compassionate, a Savior who will bid the most foulest of sinners to come unto Him immediately to receive life, mercy, and forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ. You see, if we are only to speak on God's wrath and His holiness and His justice and His judgment, if these are to be our only themes, we are not preaching the full counsel of God. We are preaching a distorted gospel. You see, it tells us in the Word of God that our God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And further, the Word of God says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" This is the message from our God. He doesn't want any one of us to perish. He wants us to come and to turn and to embrace the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. Towards the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Look at all that they did to our Savior. After 3 years of public ministry, they rejected Christ. And what does He say to them before He goes to the cross? "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, O the people of God, how often would I have gathered thee, and ye would not." Ye would not. Christ would, but ye would not. That's His sentence. That's what He says to them. And that is my Master. That is the one I preach. This is the one I serve. And He calls all without exception, to come unto Him. This indeed is the wonderful news of the gospel. Our God indeed is holy and righteous. But in Jesus Christ, friends, in Jesus Christ, my hearers, He bids you all to come. We have a compassionate and a merciful and a gracious and a sympathetic and an all-powerful Savior. This is what we find in these few verses. This is what we find in our text. So let us see first and foremost Christ's willingness to save. This incident just happened after He had preached the Sermon on the Mount. And that sermon is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. And at the end of that sermon, we are told there in verse 29 of chapter 7, the people were astonished at his doctrine. 28, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The master had sat down, and as it were, he had expounded and explained the Ten Commandments to them. He had preached to them the doctrines of the kingdom. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. He taught as one who had authority. And then what happened? We are told he went down from the mountain, and immediately he was confronted by this leper. And not only does he talk with authority, but he was able to demonstrate his authority by cleansing his leper. Do we see this? He spoke with authority, but he was not just a great speaker. He was able to put into practice the things that he said, and he had power. Power to save, power to transform lives. Not just to preach the Word of God, not only to expound the Word of God, but he was able to heal, and he was able to move in individuals' lives and transform lives and to make people whole again. We are told, my friends, that when he came down from the mountain, verse 1 of chapter 8, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. What can we say there? Great multitudes followed Jesus Christ. But there was only this leper that actually petitioned Christ. They were all following him. Maybe to hear more of his teaching, I don't know. Maybe they were aroused by this radical rabbi that had come in their midst, and maybe they were enticed. Their fancies were tickled by this preacher, as it were, and they followed him. But only one actually petitioned the Savior, and it was this poor leper. He came before them, and we're told that he worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What is the point in this? Well, my friends, there are many people who are following Jesus Christ, but how many are actually petitioning him? How many are actually calling upon him? How many are here this evening? 50? 60 people? We're all, as it were, under the teaching of Jesus Christ. But how many of us are actually laying hold on Jesus Christ? How many of us are actually going to him? Multitudes followed him, but only this poor leper laid hold on Christ and petitioned him and worshipped him. What would the crowd think of this leper in their midst? Here was this person coming to Jesus. He was unclean. He was an outcast in society. What would the crowd think? Oh, get away from us. He will have nothing to do with you. But no, as we know, that was not the case. And the leper went to Jesus Christ. What would happen if he went to any other of the religious leaders of the day? Maybe they would denounce him. They might say, because they taught that very often a person's illness was a direct result of their sin. And they may well have said to the leper, you have this disease because you're a sinner, because you've committed some great sin. And the crowd might have been hostile towards him. And any other religious leader might well have dismissed him and said, we don't want anything to do with you. It's your own fault. You must have committed a great sin for this great sickness to come upon you. You are getting what you deserve. Could well be what many other of the religious leaders would have said. But what about Jesus Christ? What did he say? What did he say when the leper petitioned him? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what are we told in our text? And Jesus put forth his hand. He reached out and he identified immediately with this poor sinner, with this poor leper. And my friends, my point is quite clear. I hardly need to elaborate or expand on it. Surely we can see here Christ's willingness to receive those who come unto him. The disease that he had indeed was a loathsome disease. It was a disease that in some instances was incurable. It was not superficial, but it was deep down in the deep-seated malady. And it often began as a rising, or as a scab, or as a bright spot, which tended to spread and turned white the hair-covered parts. And soon the flesh became raw, and it affected the person all over. His hands and his joints would be affected by this horrible, horrible disease. And because of what he had, he was excluded from society. He wouldn't be allowed in a place of religious worship like this. And he had to go about and cry, unclean, unclean, that people would keep well away from him. And because of his condition, he would have to appear repeatedly before the priest that he may gauge and monitor the disease. Such was the disease that he had. It was a horrible thing. And there was no known cure for it in those days. And many would have dismissed him, but not our Savior, but not Jesus Christ. He reached forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. It could well be, my friends, that leprosy is a type of sin, and it reveals to us in a spiritual manner what sin is like. Sin is a loathsome, degrading disease that affects every single one of us. We have all come from Adam. We have all inherited his sinful nature. And we are not what we once were in Adam. And this sin will ultimately bring physical death. It has already brought spiritual death. And left unchecked and unattended to will bring eternal death. Such is the seriousness of this disease that all of us have without exception. It is no light matter, this sin, as leprosy was no light matter to this poor individual and to the community that he lived in. And so it is with each and every one of us. We have to realize this. That we have a disease that is worse than leprosy, that will bring about our eternal damnation. It will kill, and it will separate us ultimately from all that's good, and from all that's holy, and from all that's pure. And if we continue as we are, there is no hope for us. There is no hope. And according to Luke's account of this passage, this man here was full of leprosy. It was not at his early stages, if you like. It seems as if this poor leper, he was full. He was maybe covered from head to toe. It was pronounced. It was obvious. He was covered in it. He was full of leprosy. But yet our Savior reached out his hand and touched him and ministered unto him. Do we see ourselves here? Do we see ourselves that although we may be full of sin, we may have spent a lifetime in sin, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, while we may even be 70 or older, and we may have spent a lifetime in sin, our lives may be full of sin, but yet, if we will but come to Jesus Christ, He will receive us. He will take upon Himself our sins. He will save us. He will cleanse us. He will give us His new heart. He will prepare us for eternity. He will give us what is required to prepare us to spend eternity with God. According to Mark's account of this incident, we are told that Jesus was moved with compassion. As the leper came forward full of sin, Luke tells us Jesus was moved with compassion. Oh, my friends, I'm failing in this, I know. I am failing. How can I possibly explain to you? How can I describe this to you adequately? That Christ indeed has compassion upon sinners. This is His great work. This is His great ministry. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus Christ has compassion on sinners. All the words of the English language are not adequate to explain the compassion that Christ has towards sinners. But I tell you, you must look at Calvary's tree, and there you will see the compassion of Christ. Look at His agony. Look what He undertook. Look what He did. And there you will see, as the wrath of God was poured upon Him, why was He suffered? Why did He suffer that way? It was God punishing Him in the place of sinners. My friends, our Savior indeed is all-powerful and all-glorious. He is the Creator of heaven and the earth. He is the one who sustains this universe day after day. He is the one who has created the sun and the moon and the stars. He is the one who has your lives in His hands day by day. And He is indeed all-powerful. He is not just powerful, but all-powerful. But He is compassionate, and He is merciful, and He is gracious. And He showed it and demonstrated it clearly and convincingly in this encounter with the leper. So what, my friends, is the problem? You know that you have sinned. And you know yourselves, I do not need to enlarge upon this, you know that you're not right, you're not ready to meet God. You know that one day you will give account of your lives. And you know that there is a Savior sent forth, Jesus Christ. And why will you not take Him? Why will you not receive Him? You have been told clearly from the Word of God that He receives sinners. And that He has come that in order that we may have life. And He has, what does the Word of God say? I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And if this be the case, and it is, why will you not come to Him, O sinner? What is the problem? For Jesus Himself says, come. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. What is the problem? You see, my friends, Christ is more willing to receive you than you are to receive him. Christ longs for you to come. Christ wants you to come. And he shows it and demonstrated time and time again, not only in this incident that we're looking at here, but all throughout the Word of God. You remember the rich young ruler who came? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? We're told in one of the gospel accounts that Jesus looked upon him and loved him. And he told him the way. But the rich young ruler would not accept that way, and he went away sad. But Christ would have accepted him. But he would not come in the terms of Christ. And my friends, this is the truth. Christ indeed will receive you, but you must come on his terms. And you must come like the leper. We are told that he came worshipping. In other accounts, we are told that he came kneeling. He comes before Jesus Christ and he says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And here is a prayer for all of us this evening. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst save me. And that is the prayer that the Lord longs to answer. For he will receive you. If you will but come. He has shown, he has demonstrated clearly his willingness to save. And secondly, my friends, my final point, it's Christ's power to save. It is one thing to be willing, you will agree. I may be willing to do many a thing for you, but I'm unable. For instance, You may have some financial difficulty. You may need a lot of money. And I may be willing to help you, but I'm not able. I do not have the resources, and therefore I cannot help you. Or let me put it another way to those of you who are parents. Your child is sick. Your child's in hospital. It's touch and go. You're fretting, you're concerned about your child. You would do anything. You are willing to do anything for your child, for your own flesh and blood that's lying there. You feel so helpless, but yet you're willing. Now I have told you that Christ is willing. But my friends, he also has power. He also has power to save. Look at this. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will." He didn't need to do anything. He didn't need to call upon his Father in heaven. He didn't need to pray. He simply willed it. He simply said it. And it was done. And immediately we're told the leprosy left him. That, my friends, is true power. If you look at all the other miracles recorded in the Word of God by others, they had to call upon God. God worked through them. But not in the case of Jesus Christ. He was able to speak the Word. Not even to speak the Word, but just to will it, to think it. And it was done. And we're told immediately, this person was clean. And to prove it, he was to go and offer a gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That is only one incident in the Word of God that shows us, clearly displays to us, the wonderful power of Jesus Christ. You can go through the other miracles, for he opened the ears of the deaf. He gave sight to the blind. He opened the mouth of the dumb. Why? He raised the dead. He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. He stilled the waters. And he told the devils to go, and they went. And all this, my friends, tells us without any shadow of a doubt that not only is our Savior willing to save us, but He has power to save us. And I ask you, my hearers, I ask you, if Jesus Christ in His humiliation can save, if Jesus Christ in His humiliation whilst He was on this earth, if He can do these things, what about Him now, as He sits at God's right hand? There, as He has been exalted and glorified, has He lost His power? I tell you, no. For He says to Him, He says in the Word of God, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto Me. And we preach to you this evening a Savior who is not only willing to receive you, but a Savior who can and will and has power to save you. What we have here is a picture of a sinner who has come to Jesus Christ. And his life has been transformed. And he is made, as it were, clean. And my friends, this surely is the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That a person can be in a lifetime of sin, and he can come to Jesus Christ, and as it were, his life is totally transformed. It is as if he never sinned at all. He is totally clean before God, as it were. Well, that's what he says. I will, be thou clean. Friends, the Word of God is here this evening to us. And I tell you that salvation and mercy and grace and peace with God and forgiveness of sins are here and in Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. Here we are, we're under the preaching of the Word of God. This man was made whole when he came to Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us that if the sinner will but come to Jesus Christ, he shall be made whole. And his sin shall be forgiven. And not only that, he shall be adopted into the family of the living God. And he shall be a co-heir with Christ. And he shall share in all the spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ. Oh, do we see what we have in Christ? Oh, that we have taken, as it were, from the dunghill. And this is what we have here before us. Christ, his willingness to save, and his power to save. So where does this leave us this evening? Friends, surely we must come to Jesus Christ. Surely, my friends, we must embrace Him. Surely we must cast ourselves upon His mercy and freely accept Him as He's offered to us in the gospel. And we will find that He is able to save. For the Word of God says, He is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto Him, for He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is our Savior. This is the one we proclaim, the one who is merciful and gracious and compassionate, the one who has power to save and who is willing to save. But why will you reject Him? Why will you say no to this? Why will you say no to peace and pardon? Why will you turn from the Lord Jesus Christ? It is the height of folly. It is stupidness. Oh, my friends, today, if you hear His voice, Do not harden your hearts, for this is the day of salvation.